May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Good morning and welcome. It is so good to be here together on this Sunday before Christmas as we come together as a Westwood United Methodist Church for our Children's Christmas Pageant and in celebration of this day. I want to welcome you here. If you're joining online or are here in the room, welcome to this place. I'm Reverend Molly Vetter. I'm the senior pastor here at Westwood Church, and it's a joy to be with you. As a congregation, we're a community that values and celebrates the gifts of diversity that are always a part of the body of Christ. And we celebrate diversities of age and race, of gender identity and sexual orientation. Because of our belief that the image of God lives in every person, we believe our community is made more rich by the diversity that we include. So thank you for bringing yourself as you are to this community. You make a unique contribution to who we are. I hope you'll participate in worship today. We're singing a lot of familiar songs that I hope you will know and sing along with, and one that is maybe new, but I think you'll like it. Our children are going to tell the story of Christmas, and you'll see it appear before your very eyes here on our chancel. This morning after worship, you're invited to come share in some cocoa and cider and cookies on the church courtyard. And of course, we welcome you back this coming Tuesday evening when we have two worship services at 5 p.m. and 11. Information about that and a lot more is in your worship guide. But for now, I invite you to participate in worship as you're able. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. The Lord has shown strength with the arm, and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The Mighty One has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son and named him Jesus.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged with and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped them in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is shepherd to my people Israel.'"
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy.
On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Will you pray with me? O holy God, may my words here and all of our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. It is easy to catch a little bit of the optimism and joy of the season of Christmas when you see Magi overcome with joy. Beautiful children's faces and voices reminding us of the good news of this season. I want to thank all of the young people who helped us feel a sense of hopefulness today. And I want to thank our staff who also made this possible, Pastor Diana and Dina and all the children's ministry staff, and Shin and our musicians, Everest. Thank you all for all that you do. I want to talk just a little bit about hope today. In this season of Advent, we've been using a daily devotional and also some prayer resources with the theme of, what's the theme, Christopher? Words for the beginning. I'll get there. Okay. Words for the beginning. Okay. It's called Words for the Beginning, and it's an invitation to think about those words that we'd want to repeat over and over to a young child we're holding in our arms, to our children as they grow up. They're words that we'd want to hear repeated to us as we grow up, to remind us of things that matter and who we are and how beloved we are and what we're called to be. And the words for today are, hope is worth the risk. There are some days when I feel discouraged and cynical about the state of the world. I'm alone, right? Now, y'all feel that too, right? Life is hard. Times are difficult. Things seem like just when you hope that things are going to get better, we're set back and it seems discouraging, like we'll never figure out a way to inhabit this planet that won't destroy its livability for people everywhere. We'll never figure out how to live without war. We'll never figure out how to build communities of justice and inclusion that are diverse and rich and beautiful, where we are not afraid of our neighbor or strangers, but where we see God in one another. I feel discouraged about whether we'll ever get there. And sometimes in the midst of that discouragement, I feel like hope is naive, that it is only accessible if I ignore reality. Hope feels dangerous because there's a possibility I will have been wrong when I hope for something that doesn't work out, at least on the timing or in the way that I anticipated. Hope feels risky. But today, I want to remind you that hope is worth the risk. Not naive hope or ignorant hope, hope that glosses over the very real pain and struggle faced by neighbors and strangers and enemies in our own communities and in our world, but hope that's strong and powerful and determined. At the beginning of the readings of Scripture today, Marlo read for us this beautiful song that Mary sings after an angel visits her and tells her that she's invited to bear the Christ child. And she assents to this plan. She says yes to God, and then she sings a song of revolution that she says will last from generation to generation, that will be told from parent to child wrapped in a quilt in our arms, and then from that child to a next generation, and so on and so on. She sings of a revolutionary hope that casts out the powerful, mighty, and lifts up the humble and poor, a revolution that insists that no one is forgotten or pushed to the edge forever. Mary sings this song as a young, unmarried woman who's pregnant in a far-off rural part of Galilee, in a moment in the world where she and her people lived under occupation. She still sings with a powerful and full voice, a confidence of what God is doing in her and through her, a hope that's determined, and maybe this is the part that's helpful to me, a hope that she participates in. She says yes, and she becomes the mother of Jesus, who we'll call the Christ, our Savior, who will be the one who changes everything. But Mary's not alone. Joseph always gets a part. We read also the story of Joseph being visited in a dream, being told about what's happening with Mary, helping understand that this is a thing that God is doing. And Joseph makes a choice to say yes to a dangerous and risky hope. He says yes to not dismissing Mary as his fiancée, but embracing this family as his own. He says yes to participating in parenting the Christ child, in belonging with Mary to raise this baby, risking disgrace, risking marginalization. Joseph says yes. There is at the heart of our Christmas story this witness of people saying yes to belonging with each other, to believing that God is doing something in us and through us, saying yes to choosing to be family together, even when it seems unlikely or impossible or doesn't quite fit the categories of the world. This morning, it was participants in our Found Family project that lit the Advent wreath. This is a new project we've started this year that brings together parent and grandparent-aged people with young adult queer folks in our congregation who have lost some relationship with their families of origin since coming out, creating new family relationships of choice, of desire, that recognize what a privilege and gift it is to claim each other, to belong with each other, to choose to be together. In your coming here today, you made a choice to belong in this community. If all you're in for is this hour, it's still a choice for belonging and being together, a choice that affirms that there's something powerful in our coming together, that there's a hope to be kindled in us when we risk belonging, when we risk caring for and about one another, when we insist that this world be one where the needs of our neighbors and strangers are respected, where their power and capacity is honored, where their dignity and worth is celebrated. And God knows we need that in this world. We need communities that come together that say, we stand with you, our immigrant neighbor. We stand with you, our trans kin. We stand with you who've been forgotten or ignored or pushed to the edge. We're invited to be people who claim and belong for and with each other. Doing so is risking for hope, but also taking action. Action that sees further down the road to where we hope we'll be, and also sees a thing that can happen here and now when we extend care, when we speak up, when we make space for one another and for being together. I love the tradition of Christmas pageants, and today's was fantastic because you children are so incredible. It is such a gift every year to get to see our community, our young people, put on the costumes of this timeless story and inhabit its promise, its good news, and its hope. It's a reminder that this is the work we're called to do, to show up, to put on the costumes or take up the work or choose the care for the world we want to be in, the world we want to live in, the hope that we're living toward. Hope is worth the risk. I hope you hear it today and have occasion to repeat it to someone else, maybe while they're wrapped together in a quilt. Our Advent devotional uses imagery from quilts as part of the visual connection between each of the words of promise, each of the words for the beginning. And this morning, again, we have some beautiful quilts here in our sanctuary. These quilts were made by Liberty Worth of our congregation as part of a project she began in 2020 in the midst of pandemic, after the beginning of a racial reckoning that was instigated by the murder of George Floyd. Liberty began working with shapes and images that helped make tactile and visible sense of what's happening in our world. Quilting is such a beautiful medium for contemplating how to be. It involves tearing apart and putting together, playing around with designs and shapes and images. And these particular quilts were made in collaboration with a diverse group of people of all ages who participated in arranging the shapes in a paper quilt that then contributed to the physical fabric quilts that are here. And the title of the project articulates names, that this is also about not only where we've been, but where we hope to be. They're a visible reminder that a forward-looking hope does not have to be ignorant of what has been. That's backwards. You see the bast this way? I always confuse my gestures. This is back in time. What has been doesn't have to be ignored in order to go forward to what God is calling us to be. As God wraps us in a quilt, holds us in divine arms, in the care and compassion of holy love, and whispers in our ear that hope is worth the risk. I hope that you find something worth the risk, a hope to invest in, a life to contribute for, a person to offer compassion to, someone to give care, not only in these days of tender Christmas celebrations, but in all that will come after. May we believe together that hope is indeed worth the risk. Amen.
Holy God, we come to you today feeling tender-hearted. We are tender-hearted because life is hard. Our spirits are bruised from the ups and downs, from the onslaught of disappointment, fear, and grief. And in the midst of this tenderness, how do we risk hope? In the midst of this tenderness, Lord, how do we hold on to you? With honesty on our tongues, Lord, we come to you today to ask for your help. We ask you to show us how to hope, reminding us, Lord, that hope is the midpoint between, Lord, this idea of what is to come. Hope is the midpoint between, Lord, the fear of what may happen if we do nothing, and yet the idea of what may happen if we are passive. We ask that you give us the courage to do the work that is hope, that you show us how to hope, that you draw us near to those most vulnerable places in our lives, to the places where hope feels out of reach. Lord, draw us near to our depression and our anxieties, to our addictions and our sorrows. Lord, draw near to those who are longing for family that they have lost. Lord, draw near to those of us who are feeling lonely and desire a connection. Lord, draw near to those of us who are celebrating new birth and new beginnings in our lives, Lord, and draw near to those of us who have longed and prayed for a birth that has yet to come, who are reminded, Lord, of what they so long for and yet they have not been able to have. Lord, draw near to us today so that in the midst of the challenges that we face that feel impossible, Lord, remind us that when hope seems out of reach, there you are. And as you do, Lord, show us how to dream a better dream. When the night feels long, point us to the candles. When the world feels empty, fill us with the bread of life. When grief threatens to capsize our boat, allow us all to laugh. When we feel alone, remind us that we are in the community. In the ups and downs of this tender-hearted world, show us how to hope. Give us the courage to live like Mary and Joseph, for they had the courage to hope, to believe in the angel's words. Lord, they were courageous enough to believe that change could come, and they were courageous enough to believe that they were called to participate in that change. With all the tender-hearted hope we can muster, Lord, we ask you to give us this courage. We join our voices together, Lord, to pray the words that your Son taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As you go out from this time today, this sharing of joy, I pray that you would find ways that hope can take form. Someone who you can offer care to, a cause you can speak up for, a way that you can show the value of everyone on this earth and all of creation. May you dare risky hope, and may you be in peace now and always. Amen.